America and our businesses are investing in this region as never before.
APEC concludes with different views of Asia. It's Monday, November 19th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Fiji counts votes and has a winner. A pledge for smart Asian cities. Disabled Pakistani children find help and hope. It's all on today's VOA Asia. United States and China offered competing views to regional leaders at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meetings in Papua New Guinea, trading sharp words over trade, investment, and regional security. Washington said it can provide a better option for regional allies under its free and open Indo-Pacific strategy. As VOA State Department correspondent Nike Ching reports, the APEC gathering ended without a formal leader statement.
A heavy Chinese footprint could be seen in infrastructure in Papua New Guinea. Responding to China's growing presence in the Pacific, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence rolled out a $1.7 billion initiative, working with Western allies to provide electricity and internet to most of this island nation. Washington is also working with Australia to build a naval base in Manus Island. Those are believed to be several steps to counter China's One Belt, One Road.
Last year, President Trump laid out a vision for a free and open Indo-Pacific, and the commitment of the United States of America to this region of the world has never been stronger. And we trust that this announcement today and the part of the United States of America in this joint announcement is proof that America and our businesses are investing in this region as never before.
Discord between the U.S. and China has dominated much of the summit meetings. Both exchanged blunt wordings.
Rules must be formulated jointly by the international community, but not by anyone that has the strongest muscles and might, let alone resorting to utilitarianism and double standards.
The U.S. cautioned countries not to fall into the trap of Chinese debt diplomacy.
Do not accept foreign debt that could compromise your sovereignty. Protect your interests, preserve your independence, and just like America, always put your country first.
But members of this Asia-Pacific bloc want to work with the world's two largest economies, including Papua New Guinea.
It is going to continue to enhance the development of our own respective countries and our economies. And the challenges that we have ahead of us, we can face them together by working together.
The competition between the U.S. and China in conflicting visions for the region have made it difficult for APEC members to reach consensus on a summit communique. Nike Ching, VOA News, Singapore.
These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. APEC ends without communique as China and the United States differ. Cambodian official says Khmer Rouge tribunal's work is done. Tonga latest to join China's Belt and Road. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Stop by our voanews.com website as well. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Fiji Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama will stay in power for a second consecutive term, as he has narrowly won a general election that was delayed by intense storms. National elections were held in the South Pacific nation Wednesday. The poll was being contested by two former military officers who have previously staged coups in Fiji. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Frank Bainimarama has held power in Fiji since 2006, when he led a military uprising against an elected government. He said he seized power in an attempt to combat institutional racism and corruption, but he was labelled in some quarters as a dictator. International sanctions followed the 2006 bloodless coup, and Fijians would have to wait 8 years for democracy to be restored. In 2014, Bainimarama resigned from the military and became prime minister in a landslide election victory. Voting in some areas has been delayed by bad weather. The incumbent prime minister's main rival in the 2018 election is a former army officer, Sitiveni Rambuka, who led two military coups in 1987. The instability was caused by fears that Fiji's government would be dominated by the ethnic Indian minority. Indo-Fijians make up about one-third of the population. They were brought to the islands in the 19th and 20th centuries to work on Britain's colonial sugarcane plantations. Australia has been a keen supporter of democracy in Fiji. In 2014, it lifted sanctions imposed after the 2006 coup. Canberra has been eager to re-engage with Fiji to counter China's rising influence in the South Pacific. Post-coup Fiji has been welcomed back into the international community. Fiji has a population of about 900,000 people. Over 500,000 Fijians were eligible to vote in this year's election.
Phil Mercer has also been following the one-year anniversary since Australians voted to legalize gay marriage in an historic postal ballot. Almost 5,500 same-sex weddings have taken place in the past year since marriage in Australia was redefined as a union of two people, despite fierce opposition from religious and conservative groups. We hear again from Phil Mercer.
62% of Australians supported same-sex marriage in a non-binding postal vote. Ban Phu Leon marched with his partner in Sydney to celebrate the historic result a year ago.
It felt good that there was such huge support, not from just the gay communities.
But from wider communities. Yeah.
Time to scream and shout, you know, yeah. This is what we've been waiting for, you know, 21 years, and that we could finally do it and be on equal terms with everyone else.
The law in Australia allowed Heather Richards and Sass Willows to marry just 2 weeks before Sass would die of cancer.
I'm so thankful and grateful and blessed, all of those things, that we were able to make it by just a few days rather than miss out by just a few days. So, yeah, now I can still say that Sass was my wife. I feel equal to other people who have lost their spouse.
Stuart, do you take James to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do!
One of Australia's most high-profile same-sex weddings was that of James Brechney and Stuart Henshall, who hope their ceremony at this year's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras will help younger people feel comfortable with their sexuality. It's estimated that 10% of same-sex couples in Australia have married since the law was changed. The bill passed federal parliament on December the 7th, 2017, and became law the following day. Campaigners say it's been one of the most significant social changes in recent Australian history. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
We return to that summit with Southeast Asian countries in Singapore, where Vice President Mike Pence announced a new U.S.-ASEAN Smart Cities Partnership that he says will spur renewed American investment in the region's digital infrastructure. VOA White House correspondent Patty Whitakaswara brings us details from Singapore.
Meet RoboCop. The police robot was designed to provide additional security at the ASEAN summit, but also highlights how Singapore is using technology to improve the quality of city living. The country pioneered the smart nation concept of sustainable and high-tech urban planning.
My name is Emma and next to me is Ella, your robotic barista.
Now American companies have the opportunity to work with Singapore and other countries in the region
Americano.
Under the new Smart Cities Partnership announced by Vice President Mike Pence at the U.S.-ASEAN Summit.
This effort will spur renewed American investment in the region's digital infrastructure, advancing prosperity and security in Southeast Asia. And it also bears on the cybersecurity statement that we will discuss here today.
Smart city is a buzzword among ASEAN member countries as their population rapidly increases and urbanizes, creating multiple challenges ranging from traffic congestion, water and air quality, to digital security. The region sees the U.S. as a natural partner for the Smart Cities Initiative.
U.S. is still the world's number one when it comes to softwares and very high-tech supplies. And so they would like to know how they can work with American companies, American partners.
Ama, so apart from the elderly monitoring system, which lets me know you're safe at home, I'm going to get this personal alert button installed for you.
Opportunities to grow the region's urban digital infrastructure range from apps that help keep citizens safe to payment mechanisms.
Promising, ah? You promised me a great-grandson, remember? When are you getting married?
But some are skeptical on how much the U.S. can actually offer.
Although the U.S. has its own challenges with infrastructure and technology and hasn't quite gotten to where Singapore is with its own success in that regard.
United Nations data shows that two-thirds of the world's population will live in cities by 2050.
As the chair of ASEAN, Singapore proposed the creation of a network of 26 smart cities in the region in April of this year. And being here in this tiny but innovative nation, it's easy to see why other Southeast Asian countries are eager to emulate Singapore's success. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Coming up, disabled Pakistani youth find new life in the United States. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia. The U.S., Japan, New Zealand, and Australia say they'll bring electricity to 70% of Papua New Guinea's people by 2030, boosting the West's response to growing Chinese influence in the South Pacific. The four countries and Papua New Guinea signed the electrification agreement Sunday. Power your day with a visit to VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, a Houston-based charity is helping disabled children from Pakistan rebuild their lives by bringing them to the United States and treating them with the help of U.S. doctors and surgeons. VOA's Nadeem Yaqub recently visited the medical center to tell us how the children are doing.
Azifa Rashid was just 8 years old when she got electrocuted in her house in Pakistan.
Good.
The accident left her severely burnt, disfigured, and maimed. She could not leave her home, and the family struggled to keep her alive.
We ourselves used to clean her wounds and give her injections. Whatever she needed, we did it with our own hands. That's why she survived.
With the help of doctors at Shalimar Hospital in Lahore, the Houston-based organization, the House of Charity, brought Azifa to the U.S. for treatment and rehabilitation. Charity director Hashmat Afandi says the group helps needy children to get free treatment in the U.S.
Basically, we take medical missions to other countries to provide free treatment to children and surgeries that are not possible on the spot because sometimes multiple procedures are needed. So we bring them to the U.S.
Like Azifa, the organization has helped more than 100 disabled and burnt victims from Pakistan get treatment and prosthetics in the U.S. Most of the time, hospitals underwrite the costs. Hashmat Afandi, who herself is a cancer survivor, says her only purpose in life is to help children.
This is my life. I don't think I could survive without this work.
I don't think I can live.
After their treatment in the U.S., the children return to their homes in Pakistan with more confidence to lead meaningful lives. Nadeem Yaqub, VOA News, Houston, Texas.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Of course, you can find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud. We're on VOA Asia Facebook every day and our website, voanews.com. We're also on the radio. Many great radio stations throughout Asia carry our program, like The Voice of Chungrung, Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chungrung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan. We're glad to have everyone there with us today. Thanks for tuning in. Our thanks to go to Director Tracy Carter and our engineer Ida Nutku, Managing Editor Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team of Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day.